God doesn't call me to work and have any plans. Like, here it is, go get it done. I mean, yeah, he's giving me the plans. I've got the word of God. I know what the plans are, but he's not just giving me the plans and said, here, go do it. He's given me his Holy Spirit to live within me to teach me how to do it. He's there with me each and every day. He guides me into his truth. He takes and he strengthens me by his might. He gives me of his wisdom. He gives me discernment. And he gives me comfort. He gives me courage. Amen. The Bible says we're laborers together with God. So God would not withhold anything from me that I need to accomplish the task that he sent me to do. And therefore, I know that while I'm working for him, no matter what I come up against, as long as I do not count on myself to handle those things, I have enough strength to handle it. As long as I don't begin to try to do it in my wisdom, I'm going to have wisdom. As long as I'm not depending on me, I have him. Amen? We're laborers together. I'm not to try to do more. Amen? I'm trying to work with him and follow him step by step. Amen? The Bible said, you're God's husbandry. That's speaking of growing a garden. I can tell you right now, a garden cannot grow well on its own. I've tried to do that this year. Amen? I hadn't had time to plow anything. I ain't had time to pull too many weeds. And I can tell you real well that crabgrass grows much better than tomatoes. And nutgrass goes crazy when you don't pull it. And so, you know, I've learned a lot of valuable lessons. You know, I look out there at that garden of mine, and I, again, with all this rain and just too wet to mow and ain't had time to weed eat. It's been a muddy, boggy, nasty, weedy mess. And that garden don't grow without a master in the garden taking care of it. Amen? I'm thankful that God does not put me down here and leave me alone and figure all this stuff out. I'm glad that God doesn't lead me to figure out where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do. Amen? It's not up to me. If I'll listen to him, if I'll watch and I'll listen, God will guide me in my steps. Amen? God's not going to leave me alone to figure it out. Praise God. Listen, he says we're his building, so he has plans. Amen? If you're going to build a building, you don't just go out there and just throw a bunch of 2x4s in a pile and throw a bunch of nails in it and chuck hammers at it and hope it builds something. Don't work with it, Sam. No, you have a plan. You got blueprints. You got to understand that God has a plan for your life. Amen? And if you listen to him, he'll show you that plan. If you watch, he'll reveal that plan to you. Amen. He thinks on us. He's busy in our lives, whether we notice him or not. See, I want him to think on me while I work for him. You know, he tells me there aren't many laborers in his fields. Amen. Matthew 9:37-38. The Bible says, and he said, this saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Listen, we can say, oh, nobody want to get saved no more. That's not true. The Bible says the harvest is plenteous. We can say what we want to say, but the Word of God tells us the harvest is plenteous. There are people out there to get saved if we tell them how to be saved. Amen? God's not through working. God's not through convicting hearts. God's not through drawing sinners to repentance. But the Bible says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's easy to get discouraged. You say, well, nobody cares about souls. I mean, why should I care? It's easy to get like that and get indifferent because we don't see too many people down here trying to win people to Jesus before it's too late. We don't see much of that anymore. It's done. God, everybody's just sitting back doing their own thing. God's thinking on us. Amen. The Bible says he's thinking on us and he's riding in the clouds on in our help. He's there to help us. We're supposed to be in the yoke with Christ, walking with him. I believe God's thinking on us. Amen? He knows we need help, and that's why he says, go to him and say, Lord, I'm trying to win these people, but I need some help. Amen? We need to realize he's thinking on us. God will send us help if we'll go to him. Amen? He thinketh on us. Amen? You know what? Our work's not in vain either. The Bible tells us that. Amen? Our work is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Steadfast. You know, that means you're not going to change your mind next week. You're not going to do like Peter we talked about Sunday. And say, you know, I go fishing. I've had enough of this. I tried this for a while, but this ain't no good. See, being a Christian ain't something you just do on again, off again. Being a Christian is something you do steady. Amen? Steadfast. Hey, listen, we're not to be wishy-washy with God. God's not wishy-washy with us. Amen? You say, when I preach, now wait a minute, sometimes I'm close to God and sometimes I'm not close to God. I know they're stumbling and rising and stumbling and rising. I understand that. The righteous man, he falleth seven times, riseth up again. I understand all that, but we ought to be steadfast. You say, well, I fall down. I understand that, but we still ought to be steadfast. Amen? We ought not lay down and lay down on God and say, well, I can't move anymore. Because that, see, when we say that, we're saying God can't. Amen? When we lay down and quit, or we get tired and we give up for a while, we're saying God can't do it. Because it's not our strength to begin with. Amen? I know that I'm laboring for God. God knows I get tired. God knows I get weary. God knows. Hey, listen, he walked down here in flesh. He knows every temptation I face. He knows every temptation you face. There's nothing you've gone through, nothing you will go through that Jesus Christ did not experience down here on this earth. Amen? He knows everything you go through. He thinketh on you. Amen? Our work's not in vain. Praise God. Be steadfast. Be steadfast, and he said unmovable. Amen? Bless God. Listen, the word of God says it, and that's all that matters. Amen? I don't have to be movable. Amen? Listen, it doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter how cultures change. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. God said it, and that's all that matters. Amen? Unmovable. Stick with what he's led you to do. Amen? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That means we ought to always be increasing in the receiving of his power. We ought to always be increasing in the receiving of the knowledge of his word. We ought to always be increasing in our growing and allowing the Spirit of God to work in our life. We ought to always be growing in our compassion toward those who are lost and in need of Jesus. We ought to always be compassionate and growing in our compassion one to another when we see one another fall down. The Bible says always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But sometimes it feels like it is. Sometimes it feels like it's all for nothing. Seems like we're spinning our wheels. Seems like we take two steps, or we take one step, get knocked back to a three. To look at it from a human standpoint, we may say, you know, I haven't done much of nothing in my life. You may have been trying to serve God and not seen a lot of fruit from it. And we see other people that seemingly have just fruit in abundance. You say, man, I've been laboring all this time. I couldn't tell you how much fruit I got. And that ain't for you to tally up if you've been working for God. I remember something was taught here a long time ago. A preacher came in and taught this. And although I don't agree with everything that preacher said, He said, you're not a success to God because you were a success. You were a success to God because you were obedient. God rewards obedience. He doesn't necessarily reward success. If God sends you forth to be obedient, and you're going obedient, and those out there won't listen to you, that doesn't make you a failure. Amen? I believe there's a lot of doorsteps where God's going to show footprints to some people right before he casts them into hell. And you know what? He's going to bless you because you went to him. He's going to bless you because you carried the message. He's going to bless you because you were faithful, not because they responded or didn't. We can look at our labor and say, well, what have I done? Don't measure yourself. Let God measure you. He's the one that counts. Amen? Just work and realize that your labor is not in vain. God's thinking on you. God hasn't left you hanging. Amen? The third thing about this that I see is that God will reward us. Amen? Galatians 6:9, the Bible said, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's not when I feel like I should be rewarded. It's not when I feel like, well, where's God's blessings? See, we start getting God on the clock. Well, when are you going to show up with the blessings of God? You promised. I've been a-working. It's time. And if you don't show up, I'm going to get plumb perturbed at you. And I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. God doesn't intend for us to be like that. God doesn't intend for us to get disgusted with him because he hasn't blessed us in a timely manner that we thought was necessary. Amen? God's way is perfect, even if we don't understand it. God's way is right, even though it doesn't line up with what we think. Our labor will be rewarded, he said, if we faint not. Perseverance. Amen? Them ants got in that ark somehow. Them snails got in that ark somehow. Amen? They had to keep walking a lot further for them than it was the elephants. Amen. A lot further for them than it was the rhinoceros and the hippopotamuses. Amen. They had a lot more steps, but they got there because they kept going. They were faithful. Amen. To keep walking. Amen. And if we'll keep going, and if we'll not question God as to why this or why that, just keep going, keep our head down, keep serving God. Listen, there's a trumpet going to sound. And when we stand before him at that judgment seat, it'll all be worth it then. If we faint not, we will be rewarded for it. Listen, I want him to think on me as I work. But not only just that, but I also want him to think on me as I war. I'm to be a warrior for him. You're to be a warrior for him. Listen, we're to be warriors for God. There's no doubt about it. Amen. Listen, we're facing the enemy. We forget as we're building, you know, Charles Spurgeon, he had a paper back during his ministry. It was called The Sword and the Trowel. Amen. That's a reference to Nehemiah and them building the wall. And they had a sword and they had a trowel. They were building and battling at the same time. While we build, working and building the kingdom of God, we've got to fight against the enemy that comes against us to stop us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Now we beseech you," so we're pleading with you, brethren, "by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Amen. He's talking about when he comes, our gathering together unto him, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is in hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." There's a falling away that comes first before that son of perdition is revealed. That son of perdition, of course, being the Antichrist. And if you read down a little further, you read some other things. But the point I'm trying to make tonight is this, is that there, that great falling away, those perilous times, they're here. We're living in them. We're seeing it every which way. I never in my life would dream that I'd see so many people pretending to be something they're not and people accepting it. I'm not just talking about Caitlyn Jenner. I'm talking about the woman in Arizona who was white as me and claimed to be Indian. And then the woman who was in NAACP claimed to be black. She's white as me. And then you got people who claim to be a cat, or they claim to be this, or they claim to be that. People always want to be something they're not. Listen, I want to be what God wants. Amen? We're living in dangerous times, a slippery slope, where nothing is concrete anymore. Everything's shiftable and movable. Everything that is except this book right here. Listen, we got to fight against what's coming. Amen? Evil is trying to overtake, and we have got to resist. Amen? Now, we can't do it in our strength. There's no way. We'd be crushed under the wheels of it. No, we have to war the right way. Again, we've got to war God's way, and he's thinking on us as we do this, and he's riding in the heavens in our help as we do this. See, I want to make sure I'm fighting for the right things, amen? Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." In other words, don't dare try to do any of it yourself. You'll end up getting hurt, amen? The devil will shred you like yesterday's newspaper. You try to do it yourself. He's out to get you, by the way. He's out to get you any way he can. And if he can't get you this way, he'll come around the other side and try the other door. And if that don't work, he'll try to come in through the guest bedroom window. If that don't work, he'll try to go in through the dryer vent. I'm telling you, he's out to get you. Be strong in the Lord, brethren, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. We know what the whole armor is. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. We know. We understand. The shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. We know what it is. But you know, years ago, back in 1996, when I surrendered to God and I turned over what was left of a miserable life that I was trying to do in my strength. And I turned it all over to God and I yielded to him. And I said, "Lord, I've been trying to do this myself and I've made a terrible mess. And I'm asking you to take me and use me and do whatever you will with me. And I'm enlisting into your service. I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm enlisting. I'm here. And whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it." And 3 months later, I surrendered to preaching. I've been preaching ever since. But this verse right here was the verse that spoke to my heart. This passage. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." And I realized that my strength would do nothing. "And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil, how he comes at you. The Bible tells us we're not ignorant of his devices. We've seen him come time and time again. It should be no shock. He shouldn't sneak in on us. We ought to see him coming by now. And he goes right on to say from that, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, that's how he comes. He comes in flesh and blood. But we're not to wrestle against the flesh and blood. We're to wrestle against him. And how do we do that? I can't do that. I don't have the strength to do that. I don't have the wisdom to do that. No, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not my battle against somebody. It's my battle against the forces of evil that would destroy me. He said it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Not physical wickedness, but spiritual wickedness in high places. God says, that's your battle. Your battle's not with me. Your battle's against those in the spirit world who attempt to destroy you. And I think to myself, well, what do I do? God says, hey, I'm thinking on you. I'm riding in the heavens in your help. I'm there for you. Amen? Don't fight against flesh and blood, because that's not your battle. And I can't fight against something I can't see, can I? I don't know how to war against the devil. I don't know how to war against demons in my strength. I have no way to do that. The only way I can do that is to go to God and turn it over to him and let him fight those battles and fight back with the word of God. That's all I have, the sword of the spirit. That's the only weapon God has given me. He's given me the shield of faith to block the doubts, but he's given me one weapon, and that's the word of God. And I'm to get it sharp. Because I want to fight right. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Every time I read that passage, I have this image in my mind of a soldier in the old battle armor, standing in the middle of hundreds of thousands of bloody dead bodies. And he's standing there, and he's exhausted, and he's covered in blood and sweat from head to toe, breathing hard, steam rising off the battlefield, and he's the last one standing. That's what I think of when I read that verse. God will sustain you in the midst of battle. I read this morning, I can't remember exactly where I read it at. I read so many things, but it was the story of when, try to get my memory straight on it, when Saul was sitting under a tree, and he had a spear in his hand, and Jonathan was going up to face the Philistines, and they had a rocky cliff over here and a rocky cliff over here. And he went up between a rock and a hard place, him and his armor bearer alone. And he went up and they started slaughtering, because God gave him the victory. He said, if they say to us, we'll come down to you, then we know we shouldn't mess with them. But if they say, come on up here to us, we know God's give us the victory. And they said, come on up here to us. You see, they proved God, that God was in it. Amen? Listen, they proved that it was a battle that God wanted them to fight. Listen, that's the way I want to be. I don't want to fight battles that are not mine to fight. I don't want to go out trying to fight everything. I want to fight what God wants me to fight, and I want to do it in his strength. I want to do it the right way. Amen? I want to make sure that God is looking down on me and thinking on me favorably. Amen? I want to make sure that I have his armament on. I want to make sure that I'm wielding that sword properly. I want to make sure that I'm doing it in his strength and with his knowledge. I want to make sure I'm fighting for the right things and having done all to stand. I want to fight the right way, I said. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, if I use God's weapon, the right way, God says it'll tear down strongholds. The devil has strongholds everywhere. He has strongholds. Hey, he has some strongholds probably in your life. He probably has some strongholds in my life that I may not even be aware of, and you may not even be aware of. But you see, the way we can defeat those strongholds in our life, and the way that we can go to others who have strongholds in their life, is if we war the right way. If we go to them in meekness and love, and we use the word of God. We're not fighting against them. They're not our enemy. They're not the one we're after. We're trying to rescue them, but we got to go against a spiritual enemy we cannot see. And the only way we can win is if we go God's way. 2 Corinthians 4:7 through 10 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." I want to fight the right way. I don't want to do it in my strength. I don't want to do it in my intellect. I don't want to do it because it's the way I feel. I want to do it because it's the way God leads me. Paul said, "We're troubled on every side, and yet not distressed." I've got trouble all around me, but I don't have to be distressed. I don't have to chew my nails, and I don't have to freak out, and I don't say, "Where's God?" I don't have to do that. I'm not distressed. I mean, trouble all around you. But you know what? You don't have to be distressed when you know God's in your favor. Amen? He said, "We're perplexed." That means we really don't know what to do at the moment. Perplexed means I'm confused. I really don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. He said, "But we're not in despair." You know, God doesn't always want you to charge. Sometimes God wants you to wait. Sometimes God wants you to hold up. Sometimes God wants to make you stand still for a while. God wants to make you wait on Him. I've oftentimes tried to outrun Him, but it never did work. Amen. I can tell you right now, you don't want to run out on the battlefield and somebody says charge. Amen. You know what that makes you? It makes you a target. You run out on the battlefield at the wrong time, all by yourself. God wants us to go in His timing. Amen. God wants us to handle things in His timing. Amen. He said, "We're troubled on every side. We're perplexed." He said, "We're persecuted, but not forsaken." Oh, no. When we're persecuted, when those come against us for Christ's sake, amen? Maybe not for your opinion's sake, but for Christ's sake, amen? Oftentimes, people don't like what your opinion is, but that's different than for Christ's sake, amen? He said, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken." No, somebody starts jumping on you for Jesus' sake. Somebody starts criticizing you and tearing you down for Jesus' sake. Listen to me. Hey, He won't leave you. Oh, no, He'll strengthen you in that hour. He'll give you grace, too. He'll give you grace. He'll give you grace to be meek at times when you don't feel like being meek. I mean, it's something that you have to learn as a believer, to be meek when you would be in your flesh. We're persecuted but not forsaken. We're cast down but not destroyed. Now, you know, I can tell you that over the last 4 or 5 years, I've been cast down at times. I thought I wasn't going to get back up at times. But you know what? God's always stuck His hand out and picked me back up, even when I didn't think it was going to happen. God is faithful. God, see, when I didn't think nobody cared, God was still thinking on me. Amen? God never quit thinking on me. God never quit loving me. God never quit caring for me. I just got lonesome and felt like I was all by myself at times. It's easy to get like that. Human flesh will do that to you. But God won't leave you. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. We're Christians. We carry about that Jesus died for us everywhere we go. Amen? And in doing that, it humbles us because we're broadcasting to the world. I was a worthless sinner, and I'm still a worthless sinner. But thank God He died for me to wash my sins away. Listen, I'm bearing about in my body His dying, carrying it around like it's on a platter in front of me everywhere I go. Jesus died for me. And if you're not, you're not doing it right. Amen? If you're not carrying that around with you, look at me here at me, you're not doing it right. We're to be bearing about with us everywhere we go the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus, by doing that, the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, that we might broadcast, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me, and He lives in me now. And that's why I'm able with such conviction to bring to you what I have to bring to you, that he died for me and he died for you and he loves you and he loves me. He wants to save you and be your savior like he's my savior. That's how you fight the enemy. Amen. I can't run a devil off. I don't have anything to run devils off with. You say, well, you got scripture. Yeah, and again, that's what does it. I don't do it. God does it. Amen. God does it. It's not my fight. I'm just in the fight. But I want to fight the right way. Thirdly, I want him to think on me as a witness, as a worker, as a warrior, but as a witness. Isaiah 43:10 says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. He has no beginning. He has no end. Therefore, nobody can be before him and nobody can be after him. Amen. He said, I'm his witness. See, I want to be a witness everywhere I go. I do. I really do. I want to be aware of those witness opportunities. I want to know what God is thinking. I want to know where God wants me next. I want to know what God wants me to say. I want to know those things because God's thinking on me. I want to be in tune with what God's thinking on me. Amen. I want to know what he wants me to do. I want to know how my day's supposed to go. I want to recognize it when that person stands in front of me that needs to know that Jesus died for them. We speak a lot of words throughout the day. And there's times when we need to speak on business and we need to speak on all kinds of subjects, but there's a point in time in every day, I believe, where God puts somebody in front of you and needs your help at least. Amen? And I want to know. I want to be a part of that. I don't want to miss that. I mean, he told us in Acts 1:8, we read it all the time, but he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And those disciples back then did not reach the uttermost part of the earth. That's why we're still doing what we're doing. I want to be a witness everywhere. Amen. I ordered a bunch of gospel tracts and I put them out on every single table at the restaurant. I'm not saying that, look at me, woo, I'm something. No, I'm just saying, it's just like setting out a trot line. Amen. You bait the hooks, you go back, come back, check them. And I do. I walk through that restaurant every day and I look and I see if them cards has moved. I walk by the register and I look up there and I put a bunch of cards, I put a bunch of tracts up there on the register. I look up there and I see how many of them has gone. It's like setting out trot line hooks. Catch something. You know what? I don't know who reads them. I don't know who. I don't know what happens. It's not up to me to decide. But you know what? I want to be a witness. Amen. I mean, I know them when people work up there for me. They get sick of hearing them same old songs over and over and over and over and over and over and over because there's only about 15 or 20 on them, on that whole thing that they play, and it's just driving everybody nuts because it's the same old song over and over and over. I had a waitress going home. She said I was going home the other night and I was singing. I can't remember what it was, some bluegrass song. She said, I had it going in my head. I couldn't get it out of my head. I said, that ain't a bad thing. Amen. It's infiltrating. Amen. Listen, I want to be a witness. Amen. I want to be a witness. It's impossible. Look up here. Somebody said this a long time ago, but it's a great statement. It is absolutely impossible to send the gospel to the wrong place. Ever thought about that? You can't send it to the wrong place. Everybody needs it. I want to be a witness. Amen. I want him to think on me not only as a witness, but I want him to think on me as a worshiper. I do. I want to worship God. I haven't all my life been as free to worship God as I am today. And I'm not as free now as I want to be. Amen. I don't want to get crazy with it. I don't want to get stupid. And I don't want to get outside of the Word of God. I don't want to do anything that would dishonor the Lord. I don't want to do anything that would bring shame upon his name. I don't want to do anything that would confuse anybody else. But at the same time, I don't want to hold back and him say, how come you didn't really worship me when you were down there on earth? I don't want him to look at me and say, what were you holding back for? Now, I understand worship's not all about emotions. It's not all about emotion, but God created those emotions. And when God stirs in your soul, sometimes your eyes leak. Amen? Sometimes a little little shout of praise will escape from your lips. Amen? Occasionally somebody just feels the urge to just thrust their hands toward heaven and just give him glory. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Amen? The Bible says lifting up holy hands before the Lord. They need to be holy. It don't need to be so everybody else can look around and say, well, look over at Sister So-and-so. Ain't she spiritual? Amen? Look at Sister Janie with her hand up. Ain't she thinks she's something. We're not doing it for that reason. Amen? We're not to do it for that reason. No, God says God's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, okay, God says we must worship him in spirit. In spirit, Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. God wants me to come to him. Listen, I can't worship him with this flesh. This flesh won't worship. This flesh only knows how to deal with fleshly things. I mean, I can sit up here, we can play music all night, and man, I can get into it, and I go to clap my hands, tap my foot, but that's not my spirit worshiping. And there's nothing wrong with tapping your foot and clapping your hand, but that ought not be all that's going on with you. Amen? It's not about the music, folks. It's about the message. Amen? If the music doesn't match the message, then the music's wrong. I got to worship him in my spirit because my flesh can't do it. Amen? My spirit is what he brought to life. I'm a new creature. That's the part of me that cannot sin. That's the part of me that has to worship him. That's the part of me that looks into this word and says, absolutely, that's wonderful. That's perfection. I have to worship him. And God looks down on me. God looks down on me when I worship. Amen? It pleases him when I worship him in spirit. He said, and in truth. I have to worship him in truth. I have to worship him according to his word, not according to anything else other than his word. 2 Corinthians 1:12, for our rejoicing is this. Paul said, the testimony of our conscience, we rejoice in this, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we've had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward. He said, listen, we didn't try to get fancy. We didn't try to appeal to your fleshly desires. We came to you with the word of God, simple as can be, godly sincerity. Amen. I want to get down. I want to get down to where the rubber meets the road. Amen. I want God to show me how to step. I want God to show me how to talk. I want God to show me how to walk. I want God to show me how to love like he loves. In truth. Amen. I want to know his nature. I want to know him. I want to know all about him. I want to know as much as I can about him. I want to feel as close to him as I can possibly feel. Amen. I want to know this book. And I want this book to know me. Amen? This book knows me. There's no doubt about it. But I want to know this book like it knows me. God thinks on me as I worship him. And lastly, and this may sound odd, but I want him to think of me as a winner. I want God to think of me as a winner. Philippians 3:7-8. But what things were gained to me, Paul said, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul said, I want to be a winner. Amen? You understand what that means, to win Christ? Hey, I mean, he was saved. He was saved. There's no doubt Paul was saved when he wrote that. That's not what he's not saying. I want to get saved. He's saying I want to win Christ. I want. you ever been to the carnival? You ever been to the carnival? And they say $3, $5. Okay, pop them balloons. Well, you win this. Well, I want that big thing up there. It ain't like that with Jesus. Amen. Paul is saying here, I want to have all of him. Amen. All of him. And I know, and he's saying, those things that I suffered the loss of, those things were keeping me from really knowing him. Those things were in the way. Those things blocked me from growing. Those things kept me and held me back. They were weights that held me down. There were things that snared me. He said, I look back on them now. Those things that I thought were so important, those things that seemingly were so important in this life, those things were like dung to me because they stood in the way of me absolutely knowing Christ the way I ought to. I won't even think of me as a winner. See, God knows that I'm after the prize. Amen? I want to win. Amen? Philippians 3, 12 and 13 says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that if I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of, Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things, that pile of dung back there, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You see, I want him, as he's thinking on me, hey, I want him, as he's riding in the heavens in my help, I want him to guide me toward the prize. I want him to lead me as we walk together, to lead me to know him in his fullness. I'm not satisfied to just have a superficial knowledge of him. God knows I'm after the prize. And lastly, God knows I'm after his person. I'm after him. Amen? He bought me. I'm his possession. And what is he? The Bible says that the flesh lusteth after the spirit and the spirit after the flesh. Well, but I can tell you something else. I want God. I have a desire for God. God wants me. God wants all of me, and I want all of him. Amen? Until it gets like that, things won't grow. And things will never be what God intended for them to be. You'll never be. Your life will never be. Whatever ministry you have will never be. Because until you decide that all those things that are holding you back are not as important as he is, you lay your idols down. You say, Lord, I want all of you. And I want you to take all of me, everything I've got. You're never going to win what God intended for you to win. You're never going to be what God intended for you to be. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I won't ever achieve what I want to achieve down here, but I'm growing into that. Amen? But when I see, all in one moment, I'll all be grown up. Amen? And then I'll be changed, completely changed. But until that time, I have to remember that I don't have any strength to become what he wants me to be. I have got to let him ride in the heavens in my help. Amen? He is my succor, however you say that word. He is my helper. He's the one who comes to my aid. He's the one who has everything I need. Amen? And I can rejoice and I can praise him tonight because I serve the true and living God. Amen? God of everything. And he thinks about me. Amen? As one preacher said, the greatest thought ever coursed through my brain, Jesus loves me. What a thought. Amen. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings, Lord, that we enjoy as your children. And Father, oftentimes we go through troubles. And Lord, it's easy to let our flesh take over and get discouraged and get beaten down. Lord, it's easy for us to, Lord, to rely on ourselves. And we do get perplexed and we do get